The healthcare system is broken, but it doesn't have to be. This is Revenue Cycle Optimized by Infinix Healthcare. We discuss the latest challenges in the revenue cycle space and provide actionable tips on how to overcome them at your organization.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Office Hours. I'm Stuart Newsom, Vice President of Marketing here at Infinix, your host for today. And I have with me guest is Bo Bowman. He's our Vice President of Strategic Accounts, handles a lot of the operations for our RCM line of business, our end-to-end RCM line of business. And today we're going to discuss a practice administrator's guide to selecting the ideal RCM partner. And so the reason we picked Bo to be our guest today is because he's actually been in the role as a practice administrator. He's been on the other side where he's had to evaluate RCM solutions as well as other solutions of all the things that many practice administrators have to evaluate, and a lot of competing solutions and issues that obviously challenge them on a day-to-day basis. So Bo, just briefly, if you could just kind of discuss that experience from your background.
Sure. Afternoon, everybody. Thanks again for joining us on Office Hours. You know, 24-ish years in the kind of physician enterprise hospital space has been my career. I spent a lot of time with doctors and a lot of times in the practice administration role. I'm a certified medical practice executive and still pretty active in society and trying to keep up. So with all that to say, it's tough. We're in a tough space right now. Overhead's going up. Labor is more expensive. Technology is a neat tool if you know how to use it correctly. If you don't, it could be costly. So my experience, as we've as I kind of moved various physician groups through their own journeys, whatever that may have looked like, whether independent or under the health system umbrella, there were really three key components. Well, number one was workflow and operations. And internally, if I had a problem with that wasn't solvable, you know, that might be an opportunity to look at how we're going to do RCM outside of the circle, or how we're going to bring in a partner. The second one is labor or people, regardless of if you're before a pandemic, during a pandemic, or after a pandemic. You know, having the right personnel is very, very important. And then retaining them is very, very important. And they get portfolio knowledge on how to queue up your claims, where to start each morning to come in to see how they can make an effect on your AR. So, you know, when you lose a key person or a key people or a key team, or maybe even a practice leader, that's another opportunity to bring a fresh set of eyes in and say, you know, are we doing all the right things here? And are we thinking about really how we're going to keep this set of people on our team for our RCM, or do we have some folks retiring? I think what's cool about an outsource option is a lot of those worries can go away, and you leave it to the experts to make sure they're staffed up. Lastly is the financial piece. You know, at the end of the day, you don't want to overpay or pay too much or absorb too much cost for either your end-to-end billing or your RCM support. So if you're doing that internally, if your people and your operations and your technology are all costing you to a point where you're at 10%, 12%, we've even seen 15 to 17% of your revenue just to keep your RCM going, then you're kind of well over where you need to be. And it's time to reevaluate, how can I get my costs down to process my claims and get paid timely? So those are some of the kind of the, I guess, pillars or benchmarks I've looked at in the past.
Well, that's amazing. And it is a lot to consider. And speaking of things to consider, there's a lot of healthcare practices out there that have this diverse nature, obviously different specialties, also multi-specialty sets, even larger organizations and health systems where they could throw the kitchen sink at you. And that's kind of where that end-to-end RCM mentality comes from. And I kind of think that in today's world, RCM can be kind of watered down because everyone seems to be attaching those acronyms and labeling, using that label, so to speak. But with that in mind, how should an RCM partner tailor their services to cater to the unique challenges and requirements of different specialties, particularly the pillars that you just described as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. And unfortunately, in our industry today, a lot of vendors and their associated EMR partners are trying to just throw one size fits all at you. And I tried to live through that. I tried to live through multiple vendors just using their one size fits all model on a cardiology practice, on an OB-GYN practice, on a primary care practice, on otolaryng, gastro, whatever it may be. And I'll tell you what, our providers and our doctors are going to stand up pretty quick and say, hey, our workflow is a lot different than the specialty down the hall or across the town. And appreciate you bringing your standardized, one size fits all, technologically efficient model, but we're going to need to make a few changes, right? And so spent a lot of time in those even types of meetings, a lot of evenings with the doctors, with IT, with the EMR team and the RCM team all at the same table, because you can have efficient workflow and get claims through, but if you're not doing insurance verification and eligibility correct, you may end up just filing 70 claims that day that get denied first time, right?
Exactly.
And it could be nobody's fault, but it could have been just the way the workflow was set up, or the way a portal may be set up, or the way we're, you know, delivering data to the payer. So all of those steps have to be measured. I think what we like to do at Infinix is spend a little time and when we first talk to a potential client and say, hey, take us through your workflow. At what point do you verify and authorize that you've got a valid payer? Or if it's a governmental payer, let's make sure we have all the necessary information. And then who at the end of the day, after the doctor or nurse practitioner does their work, you know, who's looking at the note, and then who's helping you generate the code and the claim? We like to talk to that crew too, because the way in which an orthopedic practice is going to do that is going to be very different than the way an OB-GYN or maybe a pediatric oncology practice or something like that. Their workflows are very different. So I'd say we like to take a little pride in our methods and how we do things. Is there's quite a few, what I'd say, pre-onboarding questions that we'll go through and study your practice's workflow. And you know, if we see some opportunities in there to make it more efficient, then we'll make that suggestion. If not, again, we'd like to think that having a boutique and tailored solution will actually allow things on your staff to go a little bit easier for the day, and maybe give you that opportunity to add one more new patient visit to the schedule, right? Because what we've seen at the end of the day is maybe it's a primary care practice, and a big day for that provider is 15 patients. Maybe it's an all Medicare practice. 15 patients a day is a busy day for an all Medicare practice. But you know, if there's some changes we can make in the workflow or really how the claim was generated and allow you to add one more new patient to the schedule, that can make a real difference to the bottom line at the end of a quarter, at the end of a year.
Right, right. And it's always the little things like that can be easily measured, but no one tends to measure or think of it that way. And so some of the other things, some aspects, some of those little minor details that people sometimes forget, but this is a big one, is the context of technology and some of those integration capabilities. What should a practice administrator look for in an RCM partner regarding any technology platforms? I mean, in other words, how important is it for the compatibility of that RCM software with existing EHRs and PM systems?
Yeah.
Just for some seamless workflow, because I know that can be challenging sometimes.
Sure, sure. You know, again, kind of three things come to mind. One, just make sure that you're compliant in the utilization of your EMR. So there's kind of info security around that needs to be thought of as you integrate. At Infinix, we'll show you how our info security works, and any, whether it's HL7 or any interfaces we do, you know, we take data security very, very seriously. So that, you know, that's kind of one for us lately, especially with, you know, all the intensity we've seen around United Change Healthcare's, you know, recent issues. So just want the audience to hear, we take all that very seriously. Outside of that, I think it's important if you're looking at an RCM vendor that, you know, maybe that they're not necessarily agnostic to EMR or practice management system, you know, specific, but that they do have expertise in what maybe the top 4, 5, or 6 common systems are that are being used today. You'd want to ask if the users that work for the RCM group are certified or have been to that EMR's conference. You know, some real regular ones might be ECW or Epic. Both of those groups have, or Athena, they have real regular user conferences that the billing experts can go to and have different ladders of certification. So I think that's important. With that said, at the end of the day, as long as, you know, we as an RCM group or whoever you were to choose has the appropriate login and the appropriate access, key piece here. You shouldn't feel like your RCM partner is a burden on your system, meaning that, you know, maybe they're in there running reports at the wrong time, or maybe they're making some changes to either how a patient's chart is set up or how a registration went, or maybe they're flipping an insurance or something like that. What we like to do is set up an SOP from the very beginning, a nice standard operating, you know, protocol that says, okay, these are the things that as a vendor, we're going to touch inside of your EMR. And these are the things that we'll go for approval for if we feel like a change needs to be made at the end of the day to make claims throughput more efficient and thus cash to come in quicker. So as you're thinking about technology, you know, can we or can another vendor go out there and integrate multiple systems that might be needed? Of course, in cardiology, we do a lot of remote monitoring. In gastroenterology, there's a lot of work there that's done inside of the ambulatory surgery center. So we're going to need data feeds from the EMR that's in the surgery center. We're going to need data feeds from the remote monitoring company that's monitoring that patient's testing for every 90 days or so. And we're going to need to integrate that data. We're happy to go out and do it manual for a while. And that's how you can kind of study if the vendor knows what they're doing. But then making that advice on how to integrate those feeds to make the claim generation process more efficient, thus using less people, is going to be more cost efficient for everybody.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So what everyone's always tied around to is the sense of transparency. And I imagine it takes a lot of trust that needs to be built. Because if I'm a practice administrator, I mean, you filled those shoes, but you can't just turn over your financials to just anyone. And that's why this is so important. So in looking at reports, KPIs, some of those analytics, what kind of transparency should a practice administrator expect in accessing financial data or gaining those insights into what's going on in their revenue cycle? I mean, is it a monthly meeting? Do they have access to look at the reports themselves? How does that look like?
Yeah, no, that's really important when maybe you're an administrator of a 30 provider pediatric or again, oncology or surgical practice, and you're entertaining various vendors. And no, you don't just want to print off your most recent either financial statement, P&L, AR, aging report, you know, age trial balance report, whatever it may be, and just kind of hand it over. I think it's important to have a conversation with a potential vendor about what your goals are each month on your key performance indicators. So there's four or five, in my humble opinion, that you should be looking at. A big one that we look at is date of service to date of charge entry. When we do our initial analysis with a lot of groups, it's not uncommon to find that they've got a pretty big charge lag problem in what's out there that hasn't been entered into the system yet. A lot of that sometimes could be, you know, they're waiting on medical records. Sometimes it could be a labor problem. Sometimes it could be a technology problem. Hard to tell, but date of service, the date of charge entry is very important for the office. We like to say 2 days or less. And for the hospital or ASC, we like to say 4 or 5 days or less. So that's kind of the very first thing we talk about. We can have that conversation without looking, you know, out of practices, you know, either their AR report or, you know, a claim submittal and data report, like to start with kind of how are things working with where you are and your charges. The next piece is, you know, actually your claim submittal. So that gets us right into the KPI of you know, your first pass percentage on what's moving through the clearinghouse. And then that just leads right into the denial rate. So we love to look at your first pass rate and we'll get a user ID and just push through in maybe a 6 month instance, how many claims were submitted and how many were paid first time. And, you know, and then that, you know, you want that percentage in a kind of a standard medical office, you want that to be pretty high, 89, 90% or higher, depending on how much acuity you have in your practice. And then on the denial rate, again, depending on the specialty, we do see complex claims get denied first time all the time. Sometimes neurosurgery is a tough one out there today. Even neurology is a tough one out there today. Payers are being very sticky with those specialties, but you want to see your denial rate down below 5%. Depending on the type of practice you have. So, you know, really date of service to charge entry, and then your clean rate, and then your denial rate. And then that gets us into the payment posting function. And so that's another thing we'll look at is really how fast to cash is your system now? What is the holdup? Are you having issues reconciling the payments that are coming in through the EDI? And when they hit your bankroll, are you having a hard time really reconciling those back to, you know, how the claim was adjudicated? And you have to make sure that whatever vendor you choose, not just has the billing expertise, but the financial and I would argue bookkeeping expertise, you know, to ensure all the payments that come in have the EOBs behind them and you can match them out and really be able to look the CFO or practice administrator in the eye at the end of each month and say, hey, we're able to tie out all the payments. And if there is a variance, here it is, and be able to explain that. So I feel like you can do all of that, Stuart, without necessarily having to exchange a whole bunch of, you know, if you will, profit and loss data or that type of thing. It's really more of a claims analysis. Infinix has a great tool that we use today, our accounts receivable denial management tool, been in the product line for some time. We nickname it ARDM. And so that's another tool as you're looking at a vendor. It's a great question and say, what technology, Mr. or Mrs., you know, RCM vendor are you using today to give me, the practice administrator, guidance on where my opportunities are, right? That's really, you know, doesn't take a whole lot of high level expertise to submit claims. I think that expertise comes in, and when we're seeing claims not flow, or if there's a better way to do it, what tools do you have on your, you know, if you will, on your tool belt to give us some guidance? I think those are important conversations to have on the financial piece.
Oh, exactly. And so, and also just to kind of mention on that, if you're considering an RCM partner, whether it be end to end or one of the distinct specialties within that RCM workflow, it's good to have what we like to call an RCM health check, where it's really a good way to not be committed all the way, but you get a snapshot of the health of your RCM, so to speak, in essence. Look at where those opportunities are and where some of the deficiencies are, where actually there's some improvement that may be needed, and also where things are going right. So a lot of practice may spend more time on things that are going right because, hey, everybody wants to enjoy the successes. So they spend their time there, and then maybe, but shedding light on what could need improvements is very important. So we offer that. It's just a snapshot of a couple months of data that can actually dive in. So I'm sure that when you were a practice administrator, you probably would have jumped all over that opportunity just to kind of give a taste of what that RCM company could do.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. I think, again, I like to tell people we're in the education business.
Right.
Nobody likes to fly the plane blind. And, you know, you can have a big bucket of AR out there and you look at that and you sit down with your providers and say, okay, well, we've got $3 million worth of AR out here. We should be able to collect half of it. And then the doctors look at you and go, well, how are you going to do that? And so I think that's where a good vendor should be able to come alongside of you and, you know, do a couple of things. One, be able to pinpoint, you know, hey, this is really what's collectible. Here's how we're going to get it in the door. Or two, hey, you're having these repetitive denials because you're using this set of codes and we'd like to see you move towards this set of codes, right? And so any vendor should have really strong coding expertise to bring the education forward. That's really how I like to think about it, right? Because at the end of the day, this is about relationship and relationship management. And, you know, many of the clients, medical practices, ASCs that we come alongside of, you know, they have an operation in place, but there is a limitation, there's a barrier, there's an issue that's been already had money thrown at it once or twice or three times, or has already had a lot of evening hours tried to fix. And so I think the relationship management piece is very important. You know, don't make promises you can't keep. We see that a lot, unfortunately, in our industry. And I think you've got to be authentic with where you can come along and help a potential practice and say, you know, hey, this is really how things need to be done. And hey, if something's not being done in the world of a, you know, a compliant method of billing, that's one conversation. That's something completely separate that any good administrator wants to get fixed, right? You know, maybe separate from that, there's this idea of, you know, hey, you've got 11 internal people working on your RCM cycle here, and you know, you may only need 7, and that could potentially free up 4 or 5 people to go focus more on patient care or patient callbacks or patient pre-registration, all those other important things. And that's where really any good vendor would want to come along and help.
Awesome. Well, I want to give an opportunity to ask some questions. And we do have a couple, so we'll go ahead and dive right into these. But you know, what role does an RCM partner play in minimizing disruptions to the practice's operations during this changeover? That might be a long answer, but just briefly, there's a changeover going on.
Sure. So we have an onboarding and transition team. I can't speak to how vendors have done it in the past. I can speak to how I did it in the past. If we were, you know, moving from one EMR to another with one of our clinics and, you know, that then entertained a new billing vendor. So the onboarding and the transition piece is very, very important. You know, very simple here. We like to put together a Gantt chart of how things are going to go. So we'll come along from the very beginning and kind of study and watch how the claims are being processed then and there. You know, enrollments are really, really important. Oftentimes when people are changing vendors out, that's a good opportunity to look at all of your provider enrollments with all of your payers and see if in fact you do have claims out that are being denied because you're either not enrolled or I'd say short enrolled. In other words, maybe the profile isn't, the CAQH profile isn't complete. So that in that transition process, we're going to follow a real methodic standard operating protocol that we have. We actually have a whole transitions department within our operating teams. And so you're going to get a full-time person that all they do is work on, you know, okay, well, this is the way, you know, this particular doctor generates their codes and generates ultimately their claim. And then here's that, that's how it's going to work under our umbrella. And then always seeking input and feedback during that transition process. But yeah, really looking at the whole scope again, if you're using, for instance, an electronic charge capture tool, you know, transitioning either to another vendor or transitioning from your internal group to a vendor, who has access to the electronic charge capture tool? Who's using the tool? Are they using it correctly? So in other words, the 75 or 80 charges that we see out there in the electronic charge capture tool, are those all real and are they accurate? Or is there something there that we need to go through and potentially delete? So we'll get pretty granular on that transition process.
Awesome. Awesome. So just want to squeeze one more question in here. I think we have time just for one more. And it's the magical questions about cost. How should practice administrators evaluate the cost effectiveness of partnering with an RCM service?
You know, again, you shouldn't go out and spend an inordinate amount of your already high overhead on an RCM partner. Is it important that your cash remains strong? Is it important that you get paid in 30 days or less on the bulk of your claims? You know, absolutely. Those are important things. But, you know, should you go be spending 20% or 18% or even 15% of your total revenue that's coming in on your RCM cycle? No, you shouldn't. There's really kind of two components to the cost, right? There's, you know, what you're paying for your EMR and your clearinghouse, and then the team that's actually processing, doing your, you know, your eligibility and then actually processing your claims. When I was an administrator, it was very common to pay 10, 11, 12% of your total revenue for something like that. It can be done for much cheaper than that. And I'm 2 years now in, happy to say, on the vendor side. And so we spend a lot of time building the business case. So whatever vendor you choose, whether it's Infinix or another one, that vendor needs to present to you a business case as to why you should bring them on. And at the end of the day, it needs to cost less than what you're paying now, and it needs to bring in more revenue than what you're doing, right? It's kind of a two-win, you know, situation. And if you can't get a win on both of those, right? If you can't get it to cost a little bit less and bring in more revenue, then you need to move on to the next vendor. So, you know, I don't want to get too down into, you know, should I be paying 7% or 3% on a contingency basis? You know, some of that depends on the specialty. Some of that depends on if you're just billing pro fees and not necessarily the global or the technical fee included, but also depends on place of service. So I don't want to lose anybody in the weeds there and say, oh, we should be paying this exact percentage. But what we're going to do is help you build the business case. We're going to look at your total costs of what you're spending on RCM, again, to include your EMR, your practice management, your clearinghouse costs, your labor costs. We can put all that together on a pretty simple one pager for you. And then we can show you what our cost is going to be. And again, there needs to be a win there. It needs to be less overall. And you need to really be able to squeeze more juice out of the orange if you're going to take that vendor on. And so you can go back to the providers and say, hey, I've got a great solution and here's how it's going to work.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Bo, thank you so much. I know you're extremely busy and I always appreciate your time and particularly your expertise. It's been very valuable today. And I hope that our audience has found some value in it as well. And feel free to contact us. There's more information on our website. And be sure to join us next week for our next episode of Office Hours. Really happy to have everyone with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Subscribe to get notified when our next episode is online. For more information for how we can help you increase reimbursements at your company, check out our website at infinix.com. That's infinix.com.